Beautiful, isn't it? That's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we'd like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. And visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own home if you live in a country that's not free or there's no Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own community anywhere in the world. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And why don't you visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website and our broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like.
Song I'll sing away, each in his heart. If you would, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. The Bible says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" We have before us this morning three imperatives, that is, three commands from our Lord. If it is to be asked, why do Christians pray? It is in part because the Lord has commanded us to do so. Carson notes that these commands are in the present tense, which indicates continuous behavior. The Christian is the one who continues to seek the face of God with persistence. We are those who continue to pray to the Lord. We are those who continue to knock. It is an ongoing behavior. And so this text that is put before us is designed to destroy unbelief. It is spoken to an unbelieving people designed to demolish our unbelieving nature. My twin sister, Courtney, has a 3.5-year-old little girl. She also has a 1.5-year-old little boy named Bowen. And they're the first grandchildren in our family, and because of that, they are just such a delight and joy to our family. We've gotten untold joy out of these precious little children. Recently, as Maggie was shopping with her mom in Target, she found a pair of princess slippers, probably inspired by the movie Frozen, which young girls really like. Like this these days. But her mom told her that she probably needed to wait till Christmas before she would be able to receive those slippers. And perhaps you can see, I've got a picture behind me this morning. The first picture, this is little Bowen, and you can see he's like any typical man. He's about tired of shopping. He's about to fall out of his little seat there. But on the other hand, here's a picture of Maggie, and you can see that she has found these slippers, and I marvel at how this picture melts my heart and the desire that I have within me to do whatever it takes to get something special for this little child. And I think it's worth noting that if God has placed such a strong desire within her Uncle William to give good gifts to her, God who has given this desire, how much greater of infinite proportions is our Heavenly Father willing to lavish, to pour out, to open the gates of heaven, to give us everything that we ask for according to His will and everything that is most needed in the kingdom of heaven. And so if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And so perhaps the devil this morning would plant this suggestion in our mind that this text is limited in nature. I suggest to you that this scripture refers to all things that pertain to life and godliness, to salvation, as well as things far beyond that which we could ask or imagine. I want to give you a few scriptures this morning that help us to understand the expansive nature of our text this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul tells us, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory." Did you catch that? All the promises, all that has been spoken in regard to us finds its yes in Jesus Christ. How limitless are these promises and this encouragement of answered prayer for those that ask of our Father. Also, I believe Psalm 2 is a wonderful text that describes the nature of prayer. Psalm 2, verse 7. "I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession.'" Without a doubt, this text finds its supreme application in Jesus Christ. But as brothers of Christ, we are to imitate the Lord Jesus, and we are to ask of the Father that He would make the nations our heritage. Surely, John, on that island of Patmos, saw the fulfillment of these prayers of Christ and His church when he looked out in Revelation 7, 9 and saw a great multitude that no one could number from every nation and all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. Perhaps the single greatest assurance to God's answering our prayers is to be found in Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" We should be awestruck this morning at the Scripture's truth that God has offered all things to His elect, His chosen people, to His precious church. How true it is, the words of James that he speaks in the fifth chapter of his epistle: "The prayer of a righteous person has great power." Taylor, who was a pioneer missionary, was responsible for baptizing great numbers of the Chinese. His conversion is of particular interest to any student of prayer. Taylor grew up in a Christian household, yet remained unconverted himself. It was his mother who had a deep burden for her son's soul. On one occasion, as she was traveling away from the house, she found that she had a period of solitude. She determined to devote this time to earnest prayer for the conversion of her son. She was shut up to the Lord and eventually received assurance of faith that God had answered her prayer in the conversion of her son. She returned home rejoicing that God had answered her earnest appeals for salvation. She returned home to find the very thing which God had already borne witness upon her spirit. Taylor would go on to lead thousands to the Lord. Yet this mighty work of the Lord had its origin in a mother who believed in the almighty power of prayer. The Lord is not teasing us this morning when He declares that if we ask, we will receive. And to those who seek, they will find. And to those who knock, the doors will be opened. He means just what He says. He is a prayer-hearing God. Why is it that you ask that prayer is the chosen instrument by our God to bless the world? I think it's important to note that in prayer, we see one of the most flesh-humbling behaviors, while at the very same time, we see an activity that gives great glory to God. There's nothing like a believer who comes before the Lord in brokenness, who confesses their inability, who confesses the Scripture's truth that apart from Christ, they can do nothing, and acknowledges that the surpassing power and glory belongs to God and God alone. Prayer was, without question, the spiritual secret to the early church. We have a picture of the disciples who continued steadfastly in prayer, meeting in the upper room. We see the apostles who acknowledged that they must give themselves first to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. But as we look at the church today, where is the upper room? Where are the prayer meetings? Where are the ministers of Christ whose whole being is dependent upon this life-giving force of prayer? The all-searching question still remains. When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on earth? Will the Lord, at His appearing, find a people who embody the behavior of this destitute woman, which we read about in Luke 18? She refuses to give up. The text figuratively indicates that she bruises this unjust judge under his eyes like a boxer. So, and to our shame and spiritual poverty, are these words of Scripture true of us that we read in the fourth chapter of James? You do not have because you do not ask. Let this not be our legacy. Let this not be our epitaph. The Lord has a book of remembrance in which there are two classes of people. There are those who were persistent in prayer, who refused to give up until they received the blessing. No truth will be more unbearable at the resurrection. No thorn will so eternally afflict our side than the simple truth that we could have obtained all spiritual blessings, yet did not because we refused to obey the Lord through faith and prayer. We did not ask, and therefore we did not receive. Dear friend, while there is breath in us, let us seek the face of God. As the Hebrew author says in Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Let us knock on the doors of heaven, that His grace may flow without measure into our lap. I've had the privilege recently to pursue a subject of great interest to me, that is our spiritual heritage in this nation, which is in many ways, it has been forgotten by people of modern times, but it is one of the richest spiritual traditions of any people that have ever lived. We have a great legacy of national awakenings and revivals, the First Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. These are such amazing and inspiring studies that remind us of the mighty works of God that He did in our fathers' generation. It is one thing to lose our identity as a people, to forget history, and there are terrible consequences that ensue. This is the game plan, if you will, of the communist. And we have seen this in China and Eastern Europe and in different places where communism has thrived. They seek to erase history. And this causes great problems for any group of people, but far greater and of greater harm is for a people to lose their spiritual identity, to forget what great things God has done in the past. Surely the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and to rob us of the great works of God that He has done in our midst. The Scriptures cannot be exalted on a higher pedestal. They contain the whole counsel of God. They are inspired, God-breathed, and truthful in every way. They are sufficient. It is not the Word of God plus something else. It is the Word of God alone which is the foundation of the church. However, we must be careful to remember that our God is alive today. God did not cease to work after the closing of the canon of Scripture. It is of great benefit to the Christian to consider what things God has done in the not-so-distant past, just a few hundred years ago. It is important to consider what God is doing today. This only serves to confirm and strengthen our faith in the Word of God and its testimony that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before the Second Great Awakening, a friend wrote to former President George Washington, "Our affairs seem to lead to some crisis, some revolution, something I cannot foresee or conjecture. I am more uneasy than before the war." Washington replied, "Your sentiment that we are drawing to a crisis affords with me what event will be is beyond my foresight." Prior to the Second Great Awakening that ensued in the year 1800, America had greatly declined in religion. Lawlessness abounded. Infidelity, all manner of evil flourished. There are so many accounts of our leading universities where hardly a single believer could be found. There are examples of students who would take Bibles and burn them publicly. It was a time of great, great wickedness. Of course, we understand that it was the Second Great Awakening that was the event that stood in the way of great judgment and a great crisis that was surely to come upon our nation. And maybe you feel that this same way this morning as we look out at the unparalleled wickedness that we have adopted the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is evident that we are headed towards judgment. We are begging God to judge us. But I think it's important for us to remember that God is surely able to send awakening. He is surely able and has the ability to answer the prayers of His people. I want to read to you this morning a firsthand account of the beginning of the Second Great Awakening. This is from a minister who witnessed these events. He says, "The year 1800 exceeds all that our eyes ever beheld on earth. All the blessed displays of almighty power and grace, all the sweet gales of divine spirit, and soul-reviving showers of the blessings of heaven which we enjoyed before, and which we considered wonderful beyond conception, were but like a few scattering drops before a mighty rain, when compared with the overflowing floods of salvation, which the eternal gracious Jehovah has poured out like a mighty river upon this our guilty, unworthy country. The Lord has indeed showed Himself a prayer-hearing God. He has given His people a praying spirit and has a lively faith. And then He has answered their prayers far beyond their highest expectations." The prayers of God's people truly did move mountains. It was not uncommon for people to travel over from Europe after the Second Great Awakening, which lasted over a quarter of a century, and to declare that there is no people like those in America who exhibit more of the true fruits of the Christian religion. Our churches were packed, and there was a fear and a reverence that was given to the Lord's day. If we know what God has done, it may inform what we are to ask for in the future. Surely, great things God has taught us, and great things He has done. We serve a mighty God who has revealed His glory, timeless in many different ways. We serve the God who opened the Red Sea that His people might walk through dry ground. We serve an infinite God who hears the prayers of His people. Very importantly, it might be noted that before the Second Great Awakening, there was a spirit of prayer that was given to the people of God, and that many were led to pursue the Lord in prayer meetings and in special prayer gatherings. And it has also been noted before seasons of blessing and revival that prayer always precedes these great outpourings of God. And this is very biblical, right? This is exactly what our Scripture teaches, that if we ask, we will receive. And so I want to challenge you this morning as we are headed towards some unknown and very challenging days, as we are headed towards crisis and pending judgment, that we, the Main Street Church of Christ, would commit ourselves to seeking the Lord, to asking of Him, to knocking on the doors of heaven, that we would pursue the Lord with all of our strength, like that destitute woman who refused to give up until she received justice. And so I commit to you this year that I am 100% committed to seek the face of God in prayer and to lead in every way that I can as this congregation pursues the Lord in prayer. And what excitement and what joy we have before us in order that we might be put in a position to receive the prayers and the answered prayers of God. Truly, the promise is still true. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. This morning, if you are outside of Jesus Christ, the good news is that Jesus came from heaven. He died, He was buried, and He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. And we are to believe on Him. We are to trust Him. We are to obey Him in baptism. We are to repent, and we are to be baptized for the remission of our sins in order that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If this is your desire, I would appeal to you to come forward today to put the Lord on in baptism. If there are any other prayers of restoration, any other urgent requests, would you please come forward as we stand and sing our invitational song?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now to give You thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to You. We pray this money can be used wisely as You see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at this same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for our church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. We're the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas. Check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.
Yeah.
Beautiful, isn't it? Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra. Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. Visit our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. We're an all-volunteer congregation dedicated to preaching the gospel to the whole world and feeding the poor and homeless. The Churches of Christ are those local self-governing congregations found in Romans 16:16. We're neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old Bible-believing Christians, reaching the unchurched for Christ at the same time and station. So why don't you come into fellowship with us and have a church in the safety of your own home? Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. Just come to www.churchofchristpreaching.com. You don't need the approval of anyone to worship God through Jesus Christ. At home, you can sing, pray, listen to us, take the Lord's Supper, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor in your own local community anywhere in the world. Visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com for free downloads of a cappella singing, hundreds of videos, thousands of sermons, beginners and advanced written lessons for a church library. Please tell a friend about our website and broadcast time. We're the poorest church in Dallas, but with God, we've done so much for so long with so little, we're now qualified to do anything with nothing. Weekly, we feed about 2,000 meals to the poor and homeless. Our jail chaplain has baptized over 19,000 believers. We preach the gospel every day to all the world. With the Main Street Church of Christ in Dallas, Texas, check us out at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Why don't you be a missionary and visit this congregation? Instead of India or Africa, you could visit us occasionally, go on a one-hour Bible missionary journey and visit us, and we visit the whole wide world. Tune in the same time and station and visit us at www.churchofchristpreaching.com.